Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's Thursday, March 14th, 2024, and this is Markets Daily. I'm Helene Braun, markets reporter at CoinDesk. Let's have a look at today's prices. According to CoinDesk indices at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, Bitcoin was hovering near $72,900 after trading roughly flat in the past 24 hours. Ether fell over 2% in the same time period to $3,950. Layer 2 cryptocurrencies provided a mixed performance following the Dan Kuhn upgrade. In traditional markets, both the Nasdaq and the S&P 500 fell slightly in yesterday's trading. And in commodities, the Energy Information Administration lifted its 2024 Brent price outlook to $87 a barrel. Oil rose slightly on the news to $84.58. Meanwhile, gold was trading at $2,167 an ounce. For more on the market's action, let's bring in John Lowe, managing partner of digital assets at Recharge Capital. John, ETH is down quite a bit today after the Dan Kuhn upgrade yesterday. Is that surprising to you, or did you anticipate that?
I think Ethereum will always be more volatile than Bitcoin. We've seen massive inflows for Bitcoin because of the ETFs. I think yesterday was our first billion-dollar day across all ETFs. For Ethereum, I always like to describe its physics. If Bitcoin is like sand, Ethereum is like a pond. It's very reflexive in nature because it has smart contracts. It has lots of financial activity on the network itself. And right now, Ethereum is being heavily shorted for many reasons because funding rates are so high across markets, especially on perpetual exchanges. We see lots of large outfits, protocols, and even new protocols shorting ETH, essentially to earn that funding rate. Right now, that stands at approximately 60% annualized. So I guess the strategy there for many large players is to short ETH and also go long on ETH equally, and you earn that funding rate. This means that a lot of the open interest on the market right now is short, which has caused, you know, some degree of price fluctuations, but also makes it a very dangerous environment to operate in.
So does that mean there's further downside ahead for ETH? I'm asking because my colleague Omgur reported yesterday that Ether's one-month call put skew, which is a prominent measure of sentiment in both TradFi and crypto, turned negative, which essentially signals that traders are preparing for lower levels. Do you agree with that outlook then?
I would say it pays to be contrarian. So despite markets telling us that there's a lot of open interest that is short Ethereum, as I said before, any volatile movements, let's say 2% upwards, would cause an upward liquidation cascade where shorts are essentially rinsed from the open interest and we start to see, you know, these spikes in price action. So despite the market being short, I would say sometimes it's better to go against the grain or to be very careful about following the market because any kind of exogenous shock or let's say on a low weekend, there's low liquidity and somebody in Asia decides to, you know, buy more ETH because they finally heard of the Dan Kuhn upgrade, right? This can cause for a lot of volatility in the market. And I think this is particularly true of ETH because it has such an extensive smart contract platform and different financial protocols also capitalizing on Ethereum itself. So it's very reflexive in nature.
global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29th to the 31st. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off with this registration code, MD15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com.
So let's shift away from ETH for a second. Bitcoin continues to make new all-time highs. Meme coins are rallying, which to me signals that people are taking on more risk again. Are we seeing this growth across the broader market, or are there areas where you're not seeing any movement? What's the broader impact here?
Definitely. I think Bitcoin is definitely the rising tide that has been lifting all boats. But we haven't seen the growth spread to other areas of the crypto market. So as you said, right, Ethereum is somewhat lagging. I would say lots of segments in DeFi, definitely NFTs, are lagging as well. You know, certain types of stablecoin or lending protocols are also lagging. I would say to characterize all of this, it would indicate that the previous crypto incumbents are no longer the ones that are generating the most flows or holding the most Bitcoin. Obviously, that's become the story for ETFs. That's granted so much wider accessibility and adoption.
So John, you just mentioned that DeFi hasn't seen notable growth while meme coins have been rallying. What does this tell you about where in the crypto market cycle we're currently in?
Oh, I would say that indicates to me that we're still very early, right? Because if DeFi protocols can, and I do believe the technology does exist, can rally and actually make their protocols more accessible as Bitcoin has done through the ETF, then we're going to start to see new growth vectors and new meaningful growth vectors. I would say meme coins are kind of a lower PMF, product market fit, for kind of the times that we're in. We're living in absurd times, and you know, financial nihilism is high, and people are willing to go all in meme coins on kind of the cheapest networks. But I would still say we're still in early stages, because fundamentally, there's a lot of work that can be done from both DeFi protocols to, you know, also centralized crypto outfits as well. So until we see those changes happen, growth is going to be slow. But when that starts happening, the market will pick up.
So the Bitcoin futures funding rate on Binance has historically been one indicator for the price of Bitcoin. And we've recently seen it cross 100% for the first time in over a year. What do you make of that? Is that something that traders should be paying attention to?
Definitely. I think, you know, the trading environment is definitely one of a higher funding interest across the board, right? And as I mentioned for Ethereum, this is reflected in all sorts of protocols, right? From lending to perpetual exchanges to also centralized exchanges. So that just means right now the demand for leverage is very high, which also means that any kind of contrarian movements of price are likely to be more volatile. So, you know, you could see if, as I was saying before, if the wisdom of the markets is saying to go short ETH and ETH actually goes up, right, you can see a lot of cascade liquidations. I think fundamentally, the high funding rate is reflective of this demand for leverage across the entire board. But, you know, it does indicate that we're in a bull market, right, to a certain degree. And it's one that's being specifically driven by Bitcoin in particular.
With the rise in the price of Bitcoin as well, we've been seeing increased interest for products that offer leverage exposure to Bitcoin. For example, leverage futures-based ETFs, which have seen enormous inflows in the past few weeks. What's the significance of that?
I think that in any kind of market, leverage is usually the thing that causes corrections and collapse. So I would say with the Bitcoin cycle, I guess we're starting to potentially reach areas of being overweighted or overheating if we're starting to see too many leverage products expose themselves. I think fundamentally that hasn't been too much the case in Ethereum and other markets. Ethereum was also starting to see new forms of leverage, And this is always something to watch out for that indicates when a market is getting too hot, when people are just demanding too much leverage and should probably dial back.
All right. Thanks for sharing your insights with us, John.
Of course.
That was John Lowe, Managing Partner of Digital Assets at Recharge Capital. That's it for today's show.
For more interviews and macro news on the digital asset space, check out CoinDesk's First Mover, also hosted by me, Jen Sinassi. Markets Daily is produced and edited by Eleanor Paul, alongside senior booking producer Melissa Montanez and executive producer Jared Schwartz. I'm your host, Jen Sinassi. We'll be back tomorrow with more Markets Daily.